Please be seated. I hate using a handheld, but we're having problems with the microphones here. We need some new lavalier microphones. If anybody wants to make a donation, that would be a good thing to do a memorial donation for new lavaliers, because this prevents me from, you know, shaking my hands all over the place. Today I would like to talk to you about joy. What is joy? It's different than happiness. Happiness, people think of, oh, you know, feeling elevated or having a sense of well-being. But joy is something that is deep within us. It's a spiritual gift where we begin to feel, where we begin to experience peace within ourselves, peace with God, peace with our environment, peace with our world, and a peace that comes from knowing that we're all heaven bound. You know, that conviction, that inner conviction that we're going to heaven because of our love of Jesus Christ. And that promise is given to us the day we were baptized and were claimed by God as God's very own. That's what real joy is. And I was explaining this to my son-in-law the other day. And he just looked at me and he said, I want some of that joy, Bob. He's, you know, they've been married 4 years. You know, the early years of marriage are tough. Finances are slim. They got a baby that's a terrorist. You know, he's too... He said, I need joy. And I mentioned this to other people, and everybody said, I need that joy, Father. And yesterday I had a wedding. And I said, you know, I invited everyone to come to communion. I said, if you want joy, come to God. Let him fill you up with his body and blood. I mean, this is a wonderful gift, Holy Communion, where you share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. Come forward and take communion. Everybody just sits there. Only the wedding party and a few other stragglers came forward to the altar. Of course, most of them were Roman Catholics, and they probably were fearful to come to communion. Because if you're a Roman Catholic, you're taught not to go to communion in any other church, because they're the only ones that have the real Eucharist. And if you go to their church, you can't take communion unless you just go up to the altar and say, I won't tell anybody, I'm an Episcopalian. The two things that prevent people from experiencing joy is fear and pride. And I'd like to give some stories of my journey so that you might connect with that experience of fear and pride. I was ordained in 1975. In 76, I was sent to the parish in East Blackstone, St. Thérèse de l'Enfant Jésus, a French-Canadian parish. And a group of people came up to me one day and they said, we want to start a charismatic prayer group in the parish. And I said, what the heck is that? They said, oh, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I'm not familiar with that. And we believe that you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I said, that sounds real Protestant to me. I mean, if you were raised in the Catholic Church, you never heard that, personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That was Protestant. That was Billy Graham and, you know, Oral Roberts and those kind of people. So we allowed them to have this prayer meeting at the church, and they said the only thing you have to do is do Mass at the end of the service, at the end of our prayer meeting. I said, that sounds okay. I can do that. And then they said, Father, you need the Holy Spirit. Oh. Boy, my, you know, like the cat with the fur going up, it rankled me. It touched my pride. Who are you to say I need the Holy Spirit? I already received it at baptism, confirmation, ordination. I have the Holy Spirit. Who are you to tell me I don't have the Holy Spirit? They said, you don't have the Holy Spirit because you don't have that joy. And I said, I have joy. I have joy. And I just resisted because of pride. But the other thing, I resist because of fear. I was afraid that I'd become like one of these crazy people that had this prayer meeting. Because they were speaking in tongues, and they had interpretation of tongues. They were laying hands on people for healing. They were speaking words of prophecy. And they even had slaying in the spirit. You ever see that? They pray over you and you fall on the floor. I said, I do not want to become a fanatic like the rest of these people. I was fearful of this experience. And so I was closed to the experience of charismatic renewal because of fear and pride. But finally, the parishioners, you know, they just worked at me until I gave in. So I took the Life from the Spirit seminars. And then when they had the laying on of hands for the release of the Holy Spirit, that experience, I surrendered my pride and I surrendered my fear. They prayed over me, laid hands on me. It changed my life. It changed my life. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior personally. I had never done that. Now I was a priest. And I was filled with joy, and that joy lasted me up till today. I'm still joyful in my life because of that experience way back in 76. Going a little further on, in 1984, 83, I was assigned to a parish in Worcester, Massachusetts as a Roman Catholic priest. Big parish, and I met this woman who was in ministry, youth ministry, and her name was Deborah. And Deborah and I became friends, and she was constantly challenging me on the state of my heart. She said, Bob, you got to follow your heart. You don't seem happy in the ministry. I said, I'm happy in the ministry. Last thing I needed was to fall into a relationship with a woman, because I knew as a Catholic priest I'd be kicked out. My parents would be all upset because my mother saw her two sons, the other one's a Jesuit, as her tickets to heaven. Now, Roman Catholic mothers are a strange breed. So I'm like, oh my God. And I was falling in love with her. And it scared me. I was frightened to death. It was so bad, I had to go home for a couple weeks and just put myself on medication to deliver me of my anxiety over this experience with this woman. And my brother was against it. He said, marriage isn't the panacea that you think it is, Bob. He said, marriage is not easy. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And pride was also keeping me, because I was very successful in the Roman Church. And I would be losing that success and losing everything. So fear and pride were crippling me. As it does to all of us. We become crippled with pride and fear. And we close ourselves off to a deeper experience of grace when we do that. Because grace means that we have to surrender and allow God to take control. And to give us the gifts we need, or the grace we need, to overcome any difficulty we're facing. So Deborah and I, it was awful what we went through. Awful. And one night at the airport in Hartford, Connecticut, we were walking around the airport. And we were confessing to each other our fears and our concerns and how difficult it has been. And we came to the conclusion, let's invite Jesus Christ into our relationship. And so we invited Christ into our relationship at that moment. And all of a sudden, we felt empowered as a couple. We felt the release of the fear, the release of the pride. And we were able to, we were given the grace to understand that all things will work out for good for those who believe, and that in Christ Jesus we can do anything. Last Christmas, my wife gave me this bracelet, and I wear it all the time now. It says, "I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me." And we were able to overcome every obstacle. We got married. No one was going to come. At the last minute, my mother says, "Everybody's going to the wedding." Of course, everybody listened to my mother. She was the matriarch, 12 children in her family, oldest daughter, and it was like a nun. So everybody came to our wedding here in Florida. Moving forward, we were stopped going to church for a while because every time we'd go to church, people, the pastor or whoever was in charge, administrator, would say, "We want to be members of this church." We'd go to Roman churches because we were both Roman Catholic. And we said, "Can we get involved in the ministry of evangelization and youth ministry?" And they said, "No, because you are an embarrassment to the church." So we were deeply hurt by that. And a lot of people leave the church because they've been hurt by a priest, by a fellow parishioner. You know what that is? Pride. "I'll show them. I'll never go there again." That's pride. That's deep pride. So we stopped going to church. She said, "I'll never step into another Roman Catholic church as long as I live." I said, "Honey, me neither." So one day, I was flipping through the Yellow Pages. I said, "Honey, I need to go to church. I'm a priest. It's part of my DNA to worship and to minister to God's people. I need to do that to find peace within myself, to be restored to joy, to experience joy again." So I flipped through the Yellow Pages and what? St. Joseph's Episcopal Church. I said, "Oh my God, this is a sign from my mother." Because her favorite saint was Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph. So I knew it was a sign. I said, "Honey, we're going to church today at Saint Joseph's Episcopal Church." She said, "Okay, but I'm going to tell that pastor the truth about us." So we go to church, and we knew all the responses because Episcopal and Roman Catholic is almost the same. So we knew all the responses. We're participating in the service. After the service, we have coffee with the pastor. And he said, "Are you two people Roman Catholics?" And my wife goes, "Well, do we have RC emblazoned on our foreheads?" And then she goes, And my husband is a Roman Catholic priest." There, what do you think of that? He says, "Welcome to this church." She just fell apart. Like, it was just, you could see her, that pride, that anger at religion because of what had happened to us because of religion. All that kind of fell as he welcomed us. And we became Episcopalians in 1992. And we discovered, we said, "This is our home. We finally feel at home in the Episcopal Church." So that was a real blessing. That was a moment of grace, wasn't it? But it was releasing our pride, releasing our anger, releasing our fear that allowed us to experience God's grace and to find a new home in which I was later on received by the bishop. But when my pastor up at St. Joseph's said, "Go see the bishop about being received in the Episcopal Church," I said, I don't want to be a priest again after all that I went through with my family, friends, and lost my church, lost my job because of it, lost everything. I lost everything. But and when I became an Episcopal priest again, after 5 years of not being inactive, God restored everything to me. I became a priest, an active priest again. But not only that, I came with a wife who loved me, and I loved, and three beautiful children. What a blessing! It reminds me of Job. You know, Job was sitting on that pile of crap. That's what the story said. He was sitting on a pile of manure. He had a rake in his hand, raking the boils off his back. And he was upset with God. Finally, he said, God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. Because what happens to me is insignificant and inconsequential. So I'm going to praise you no matter what. And what happens in the story? Everything was restored to Job. Everything. As we praise God, God's grace is released into our lives. As we confess our sinfulness of pride and fear, God's grace is able to break through into our lives. You know, many people don't come to church anymore. And I don't understand that. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. Because we all have this pride that I can do it. I remember when I came here, a lot of members were inviting me to go to Curcio. My pride said, I don't need to go to Curcio. I got God on my side. I don't need Curcio. And the real reason I didn't want to go is because I didn't want to have to change. And the more you talk, the more God speaks to you, the more he calls you to change. And we're afraid to change because we think we're pretty good as we are. But finally, I surrendered, went to Curcio. It filled me with joy. And it bothers me that more men in this parish won't go to Curcio because men are proud. We try to fix things. The last thing we're going to do is go to God to fix things. Because we think we can fix things ourselves. There's so much pride. And then there's the fear that I might have to change. Especially if the man has his wife over here and Shirley over there. He's not going to come to church because he's afraid he's going to have to change. Going to be afraid of Curcio. Our sin keeps us away from God. We look at our sin and we go, oh no, I can't go near God. And so people avoid the Eucharist. They avoid coming to God for fear of rejection by God, fear of having to change, and pride that I have to surrender and let him take over. We're all guilty of that. Somebody that never felt that, raise their hand, and we'll sanctify you right now. We'll pronounce you a saint. My greatest joy now is to preach on behalf of the poor. Wherever I go, I travel all over the country for food for the poor. And every time I get to preach on behalf of the poor, I am lifted up. I am filled with joy. Whenever I preach here, I'm filled with joy because I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I'm scared to death before I walk down this aisle. Every time I said, dear God, please give me the right words that will transform the hearts of the people that are here today. Help me really say what you want me to say, not what I want to say. I'm not preaching me, I'm preaching you. Him crucified on the cross, who loves us and died for us and wants us to get up and go forward, no matter what our sin is. And that's what I learned in the Roman church. If you were divorced, and Deborah was divorced, we couldn't marry in the Roman church, because if you've made that major sin, you're kind of excommunicated. But what makes that sin worse than any other? Greed destroys more people than divorce. About the same. But God forgives. In the Episcopal Church, we believe in the compassion of God. And of course, all of us are married priests and bishops, so we certainly have a lot of compassion for those who are failing in their marriages. But God doesn't want us to just give up and say, I'm a failure. He wants us to get up, brush ourselves off, and go on. And the only way we can do that is with God's grace. You know, the most important hour of my life is when I say Mass and I receive Holy Communion. And I don't like missing Mass because I need His grace every day to make it in my marriage with a disabled wife. To make it in my marriage and to make it in my family when my son died and I was in a coma almost for 2 months. It took God's grace to pull me out of that coma. Coming to church, receiving the sacraments, and relying and surrendering to God's grace. Eucharist to me is the most important moment of my life when I take the body and blood of Christ and ask Jesus to transform me, give me that joy, fill me with His power, and enable me to build His kingdom in any little way that I possibly can, just to make the world a little bit better. And I need God's grace for that. That's a surrender of pride. And it's hard to surrender. Because pride, the devil is always out there. Because pride and fear are like barnacles on a ship. They stick to us like glue. So in confessing that, we are getting rid of it. But we have to do that every day. Because commitment to Christ is not once and for all thing. It's a daily thing. Just as a commitment to a spouse is a daily thing, the commitment to raising kids in the Spirit of God is a daily, daily thing, especially when they're 2 and a half. So I'm going to invite you now to stand, all of you. This is a revival today. And you're going to come together in fours. Four people in each group. Turn around, find four people.
Okay, I got you.
Just four people, not five. Last Mass, there were six in one group. And I said, don't you know how to count? Four people in each group.
All right, we got it.
Find four people. Five? They don't know how to count. They must be Latin. Four. Now, you're going to have to come out in the aisle because what we're going to do, you don't have to because you're facing one another. He's looking for a fourth. Oral needs a fourth. Go over there in the back. What we're going to do is we're going to pray the sinner's prayer, and then you're going to lay hands upon one another. That's why I'm saying go in the aisle if you're in a pew and you're just facing frontwards instead of each other. And then we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Okay? And you're going to pray for joy, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, to invite Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. And He will change, make a transformation in your heart. I guarantee it. So now just close your eye and repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Heavenly Father, I am sorry for all the sins I have committed, especially pride and fear, that keeps me from submission to you. I invite you, Jesus, into my life. As my personal Lord and Savior. Give me your Holy Spirit.
Give me inner joy.
And make me a kingdom builder. Father, thank you for hearing my prayer. And I believe it is being answered. Okay. Now in your group of four, one person goes in the middle of the four. One person at a time. You're all going to, and the other three will lay hands on that person and pray quietly or out loud that they may receive the desires of their heart. That they may experience joy, that they may let go of the things that are burdens in their life, that they may be set free by God's grace. So pray for that one person now. Okay, now lay hands on the second person in your group. Lay hands on the second person in your group and pray with confidence. Your hands are the hands of God upon that person. Pray that God's Spirit may enter that person. Now the third person in that group. Give this person your power, your grace. Let this person experience your love and forgiveness in a very deep way this morning, that they may release everything that bothers them into your hands. Give them joy. And now the fourth person in your group. Give this person your grace, your power, experience of your forgiveness and love. Give them, this person, your grace. Give them joy and a renewed sense of your deep love for that person. Okay, if there's a fifth person in your group and you don't know how to count, do the fifth person. And now we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Nice and loud. Amazing Grace.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Can you feel the joy? Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Well, tell them, praise God for that. Praise God for His grace. Praise God for joy. Now we're going to baptize this baby into this family of faith.